Okay. Hi, everyone. I think we should start. I'm not overly impressed with the quantity of the attendance, but of course, it's more than compensated by the quality. Kurt, go ahead.
We're talking about our quality, right?
No, I'm not in general, the working group.
Okay.
Not ICANN representation. So I send everybody the agenda. So Kurt, as far as I'm concerned, you can start.
Yeah. And we've got the agenda, and prior to that, we had prepared a deck of slides. So what we did is just change our slides slightly, so we think we cover all the agenda items and running through the slides.
I don't need this because I have this.
Thank you. Anyway, so I kind of like the setting with fewer people because I think it makes the exchange of information more effective. And so I view this as just I don't even know why we have microphones. Are we recording that? Oh, okay, good. So I view this as more of a conversation, so interrupt at any time and ask questions. That's really more about getting feedback and input into the strategic plan rather than ICANN presenting the work that it's done. So the way we intend to take you through this material is through this pretty simplified agenda that just describes the steps we've taken so far and the steps that are planned. In the discussions we've seen with different parts of the community, what we've seen as the emerging themes in that discussion. When I say emerging themes, how is the ICANN strategy changing in reaction to recent events or things that have been done? Then we'll describe the strategic objectives, and we understood your message about focusing on security. And then in last year's plan, we implemented metrics, and so we've kicked off a project at ICANN, of course, to measure ourselves against those metrics, and we want to tell you something about that work and get your feedback into them. So just some overall comments as to the process. If you go on to the next slide, this is really kind of straightforward, but we began with some exchanges in Singapore and received input on formulation of the plan. Actually, throughout the past few months, we've had, I apologize for our lack of ability to get together before this, and it was my inability to meet, so I apologize to that. But there have been some sessions that Carol's conducted with community members, and also staff's been working on what they think the vision of the plan is. So that's the steps that have occurred so far. I think the most significant ones have really been with ALAC, that we've had some in-depth discussions. We had a discussion on the strategic plan with the council, and then also we've met telephonically. Actually, Carol ran these with each of the RALOs and have had them provide input into the plan. And then the next slide just shows that we've posted some tweaks to last year's plan, but really we think a majority of the consultation still has to occur. So I'm going to ask, Carol, can you run through the timeline for how we see this going forward? Here.
Sure.
That's the next one.
The strategic plan is currently posted. There's a clean and a red line, and we're out for a 45-day public comment period, which means that ends November, I believe, 17th is the date, and it is to continue to collect as much input as we can, either at the ICANN meeting like now, or just if anyone would like to submit comments and feedback, and we will, of course, address each one of those. The next part after that is we will take all of the input from Dakar, the written feedback we've got so far in the red line, plus any written comments that have come in, and we'll do an updated draft, which we will post by November 22nd. And the reason November 22nd is we wanted to give enough time for everybody to see what it is and have the board to review it in December to get back on that timeline that we had started where we said we would try to get the strategic plan drafted, updated, and back to a calendar of being completed for the board review in December. Along with that, all this input will be given to the operating and plan team to make sure that, you know, feedback goes into the operating plan and budget, and that gets taken into consideration because I know they've already started to ask the various SOs and ACs for input. So that cycle is still connected with that process, and that's important to me.
So, talking about some substance. There's a couple of slides on what we see as emerging themes, changing that might affect ICANN strategy going forward. One is, the effect of the new GTLD program on ICANN, independent of just operating the new GTLD program. And, you know, we just got out of a staff meeting where, we had a pretty frank discussion amongst ourselves about how ICANN staff at least should conduct themselves during this process, that, how we conduct ourselves during this process, and, you know, just from running the program, but then also how we interact with the community, realizing all the potential conflicts that are arising, is very important. And that's a feature and a bug that ICANN staff anyway has to be ICANN has an increased profile because of this program, and must conduct itself differently. And so we want to take advantage of that in a way that promotes the multi-stakeholder model and the big goals of ICANN to provide this method of DNS governance that provides for an ongoing multi-stakeholder model. The DNS stability and security message, I think, is growing. So, almost at an operational level, but going beyond DNSSEC and then applying that into IP addresses and the like. So our initiatives such as RPKI. Certainly the interaction with law enforcement and how we conduct our operations with GTLD registrars and what we do on who is going forward. But law enforcement agencies are interacting with governments and combining with governments in a way that makes listening to them more important. Yeah? So that's a really good question, and I thought you were going in a slightly different area, and that is there's no law enforcement constituency or stakeholder group, so interacting with them is kind of odd, because if it's a stakeholder group or it's the GAC, we understand their role in ICANN, but with law enforcement agencies, how do we know they're broadly represented and the right entities to interact with? So I'll tell you that, in ICANN, I think the U.S. law enforcement agencies are the most active and most vociferous, but that doesn't, how we address law enforcement requests is kind of problematic for us, because they're not a constituency group, so there's not a set of rules around how much attention to pay for them or how they should interact with ICANN.
I'm not sure if that's really a strategic issue from my perspective, and I handle also a lot of requests from law enforcement agencies, and that's a pure legal issue for a company immunity. If somebody is telling you trying to be a law enforcement agency,
and intellectual property constituency of the GNSO, and they'll say, we think ICANN should do these things. You know, we think they should amend the register, you know, GPLD registrar accreditation agreement to do these things. And the GAC then says, well, ICANN should pay attention to law enforcement requests. So there's sort of a reputational risk to ICANN in addressing requests of law enforcement. So an emerging theme is that law enforcement representatives are playing a more active role in some of these AC discussions. And so the answer is I don't know. I just know that, you know, the GAC addresses the board and says, you know, why aren't registrars paying attention to these law enforcement requests, or the IP constituency says the same thing. So it's an emerging theme. And I agree with your assessment, and the fact that they're not a stakeholder group in ICANN makes it difficult to address the issue, and that's what we're trying to understand how best to address.
But sorry, they are a stakeholder group in ICANN.
Shadeen, could first do his presentation, just have clarifying questions, then we can have a discussion when he has finished. Otherwise, we only have an hour. Thank you.
Well, it's a good day you brought that point up. But we didn't get the last point on the last one. All right, so I think the new GTLD process, one of the unintended benefits of it, and I think there are several, brought us down the learning curve so far as the board and GAC interacting and getting some actual concrete work product out of their discussions, and we want to build on that to get more effective and early participation of the GAC. The GAC interaction on new GTLDs was effective but very late, and so we want to build on that. Okay, thanks. Well, as you know, I don't particularly like the word internationalization, but it's sort of built into our lexicon that we establish some principles so that we can build a better ICANN that addresses the need of a global group. We're consistently looking for refreshing the participants in the ICANN multi-stakeholder model. And actually, if you're interested at all, I'll run it past Bart first, but we've been working on a model for outreach. So we've been working on a model for outreach, because outreach is a word that some of us forget. Outreach is a word that we use a lot, but everybody has a different definition for it. And when we do our budgeting, a lot of budgeting is justified by the term outreach. When we get requests from stakeholder groups for budget expenditures, it's in the name of outreach. So we've been doing some work to try to define what outreach is and provide a tool for measuring activities against that goal. Isn't that, I think, would be... Anyway, I think it's kind of a cool model, and I'd like to share it with CCNO at some point. So you're actually on that team. So I'll take you through the final work product, not the final, but, you know, the presentation we've developed. And if it's meaningful for the CCNSO, that would be great for us. There's always constant pressure on who is that database policy. I think for ICANN, the issue is the inability to move that policy discussion forward after years and years, and There's certain pressures that really want us to change it. One is internationalized domain names and the ability of who is to accommodate languages other than Latin-based languages. So there at least has to be a technical change to that database. And then, you know, there's sort of a policy logjam about it. And then, I'm just going to skip to the last one. And then continue to evolve ICANN meetings. So I know there's a session here, isn't there? There's always sessions about how to make the ICANN meetings better, and they don't seem to change much. So, yeah, I don't know what that is.
Oh. I'm sorry, I'll jump in here. The better enterprise-wide processes and systems, and that's very much focused on the fact that if the new GTLP program goes forward, we want to be more effective internally with handling everything from financing to processing to communications. And so there is a whole company-wide initiative that it goes on where we're actually looking at our processes and doing a best practice approach, and we're kind of going through them at a piecemeal effort. And one of the ways that you will see that is the financial system replacement that we started about a year ago has now started to see those reporting and invoicing out through that new financial system, and you will see more reporting from the financial system in a more discreet way. And so you will see the benefit of that as one of those solutions.
So these are sections of the one-page version of the strategic plan, and you remember that one-page version has the four areas of ICANN mission, stability and security, competition and choice, excellent cooperations, and the internet governance ecosystem. These discussions really don't get into the meat of these issues, but there's been consultations on, you know, internal largely, but some external on how we can improve these elements of the one-page model with these enhancements. Enhancements are due either to getting something done, so we're changing, or changing the area of focus slightly. And so these are the areas having to do with DNS stability and security. And you can see that the only real change to me here is emergency response and ICANN's role in playing a role in the mechanisms others have developed to respond to security incidents. So I can tell you one example of that. One example of this is work we've done with VeriSign to amend their agreement to have a rapid response in place to allow them to temporarily suspend some terms in their agreement in order to respond to a security alert. So they might want to suspend some names or something like that. That would be in contravention to their agreement. But I don't know if I have much to add about this. And I know you all want to talk about stability and security. So I don't know if now's the time or later. Yeah.
The intent of this slide was to focus very much on the actual objectives themselves, and that's one of the things that we were getting feedback that one of the areas we wanted to focus a little bit more on was the actual objectives and were they captured accurately and were there concerns, and that is one of the things that the group, yes, so go ahead.
I think this is helpful in terms of starting to focus the objectives themselves. I think this is one of the interesting areas that perhaps the comments made by the SOP around then what are the metrics by which we measure success. Perhaps here you're starting to provide objectives that you can really measure. Maybe it's later in your presentation, but are you then setting out specific metrics by which you're going to measure these so then we all know you've succeeded and you know you've succeeded? Is this an area that you've been able to do that yet?
going to suggest skipping to that slide, but why don't you?
The answer is that is part of the measurable metrics review that we're currently doing. I don't think that we have developed it enough to the satisfaction where we can actually measure everything to that component so that you do outwardly see all of the measures of success. But it is one of the things we're taking into account as we refine, and I hope we will be able to have more dialogue on that today.
Thank you. I just want to raise a point in the sense that this strat plan is 2012 to 2015, and I think the bit that's missing for me is the bridge between this and the ops plan to say year one we're going to do this, year two to wherever we're going to do that, because I think it would be helpful to reinforce the timeline and also to manage expectations.
I just want to say that's very much the same internal discussion we're having. So you are 100% online to where I think you're going to see us go as a direction. As one of the internal efforts that I'm working on is taking the strategic plan that's a three-year view and dividing up what will get done in a phased approach, if you will, for each year, and allow those maybe 3 to 5 milestones for each of the key initiatives to help reflect that progress. And it is one of the pieces. It's just not happening right this minute. It's something that we're progressing from a high-level perspective and will roll out. So you will be hearing more about it, but not at this meeting.
Yeah, thank you for the presentation. Let me know if my point's too wide. But I remember in the past the group has raised concerns about the level of focus of the strategic plan. And when I checked online on the new document, basically there are plenty of new lines in red, and I haven't seen anything crossed. So what exactly are the choices that were made in preparation for this new plan?
Sorry.
So the question I had was, what were the choices not to do something? Because basically, strategy is all about not doing things that you've made, and how can they be maybe put forward in the plan?
Yes, so that's a really good question. Certainly, some objectives were changed because some things were accomplished. So, in the example of DNSSEC, we committed to so many signings, and with that accomplished, then we didn't abandon the DNSSEC goal, but rather took it to the next step. So you have a really good point in what was next done. The really good discussion to have is what I shouldn't be doing. So obviously there's a lot left on the cutting room floor that isn't part of this document that shows that. But I think especially around the areas of stability and security, and the other one at the other end about the multi-stakeholder model and the internet ecosystem, what things are within ICANN's remit and what's not. And maybe the answer to that is making the language more specific or something, rather than so we all have a common understanding of what that is, rather than broad language.
I'm a little bit puzzled about the mixture when I want to go back in the other slide. Between you see you're sneaking in IP addresses and parameters. And you see it also on the other level, and DNS stability and security, frankly, has, from my perspective, nothing to do with BGP4 IP addresses and whatever can happen on the routing and whatever system. So I would be very, very, I would really recommend to try to figure out what is management of IP addresses, what is on the routing level, what can happen on the routing level, instead of mangling everything under the broad view that it has something to do with DNS stability and security, because if I say IP address routing has something to do with stability of the DNS, I could also say the definition of fiber on the protocol level has something to do with IP with DNS, because the DNS packets are transported on the fiber level. So I would really recommend you to distinguish between ITAMS maintaining the unique parameters on the internet. That is definitely the IP addresses, and on the other hand side, the domain names. And the domain names are spread out with the DNS protocol and the IP addresses. There are other mechanisms like the routing system. But I would advise not to mangle it completely under the broad DNS security stability title, because I don't think some of the issues have to do anything about it. But that would be, when I read that you see it with the PKI for the IP addresses, you see it later on also, which has nothing to do with DNS at all. And I would really recommend you to try to separate those issues.
I don't know if I understand, but I'm going to try. So they both sort of come under the heading of the unique identifier system, right? They're both unique identifiers. One is DNS. One is IP addresses.
Both of them have their different, let's say, challenges, their different problems. There are different organizations actually working on it, like the RIR and the TLD registries. But they are somehow related, because we need the IP addresses to run the DNS, but we need also copper, fiber, the ocean cables and whatever to run the DNS and Cisco routers too.
But Sabine, with domain names, IP addresses and parameters, I think the parameters that they mean is the parameters that are being managed by ICANN, and that's the focus, isn't it? ICANN doesn't manage any copper fibers or...
I only would say, if you look at the strategic plan, if you look at the overview, you see that there is a headline which calls DNS stability and security, and what is ICANN doing in that area. And in that area, I don't think IP addresses has to... Maybe they should have opened up a fifth row where they say IP addresses, management of the IP addresses, and there we go with PKI or whatever. But it's not really... you can't actually put all under the umbrella of DNS. It's, of course, in the ICANN scope, but I'm completely with you that you do something among them, but... If you look at the strategic plan as it's covered now, it's something which is actually, you find on the headline, DNS stability, and I don't think that's there.
So do I understand you correctly if I think that your message is twofold? First, that ICANN should focus stability and security activities on those areas where ICANN actually has a role, and second is that you shouldn't call everything stability of the DNS, because parameters and IP addresses is something else for you. Okay.
I'll only take another minute of our time, and then maybe we can talk later. So this is under the banner stability and security. It's not under the banner DNS. So I think that under the banner stability and security, you can have a box that says DNS, and you can have a box that says IP addresses. Okay. So the other... is this the very next one? So, mm-hmm. Okay. So, not much has changed in the area of consumer choice and introducing new competition, except that we want to competently roll out the new GTLD program and IDNs. So yeah, so we're only looking at high level here, because I'm thinking there's a lot of work that's been done in IDNs. So that's pretty significant, I think. Okay. Under core operations, I think we're just trying to reflect that IANA performance continues at its same level. That we have an administrative correction in that we're not using for continual improvements. We're not using the U.S.-based TQM methodology. But we're using the European-based EFQM methodology, so that's sort of a nit. Yeah, that's right. And then, that was funny. I was reading, like, ICANN meets revolution or something like that at the bottom. So we're promoting in importance the how we conduct meetings, which is, like I said, an emerging theme, but a difficult problem. And then finally, the one that we talked a lot about last time, and the one that we changed the name of, a healthy internet governance ecosystem. I remember, didn't we? So that should be a healthy internet governance ecosystem. trying to make the goals more definable and more precise. So I don't know. Be reporting out on, and so we have a project to publish the measures of each of the metrics. And so I just want to talk. I think we're just going to talk in terms of a few examples of each of the four areas and how we're doing metrics. So the first one is just a graph.
Can I?
Go ahead.
Did I understand correctly? So you were talking about the owner of the metrics. So the four different teams have their own person who is in charge of coming up with the metrics.
Yeah. So each of the in last year's plan, each of the four pillars has about 9 metrics, because there's 36 metrics all told in the plan. And so we've attached an owner to each one of those metrics, not to the big pillar. But, you know, if it's an IANA function metric, you know, Elise Garrick is the owner of that. You know, our policy group might be in charge of, you know, part of the policy development support metrics. So whosoever function it is in ICANN is most closely aligned with that metric. We said we didn't want, for example, Carol to be responsible for figuring out how to measure each one of the metrics. We wanted the owner of that. So, okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that didn't probably clarify why I found that there was quite a difference in how the metrics are presently formulated in the plan. Some are real metrics,
yes,
so they're quantified, but I also came across a metric that was coming up with metrics.
Yeah.
And some were actions instead of metrics. So
that's on the sneaky school advantage.
Yeah. So I think you have to do some synchronizing with the people who are working on the metrics there.
But I think, you know, so in defense of that, I think it's reasonable in that this is a strategy, right? So it's not an operating plan. So depending on where ICANN is in its life cycle of these different strategic objectives, some of them are in execution and some of them are measurable, signing, you know, encouraging participation or sign up to DNSSEC is very measurable, where others, we're not sure how we're going to accomplish. We have the strategic objective, but we're not sure how we're going to accomplish it yet. So then the metric in that instance is to develop a plan, you know, develop a metric, develop a plan for accomplishing this objective. We know ICANN wants to get someplace in, you know, in the internet governance discussion, but we don't have quantifiable objectives. Or sometimes, you know, we developed objectives that at the end we didn't think were meaningful, so we threw them out, like, you know, how many events do you participate in? You know, that you know, you can accomplish that without really accomplishing any good. So we were trying to be careful in creating metrics that we thought would really move the thing forward, rather than trying to specify a numerical metric that wasn't really ready yet. We'd have to look at specifics, and, you know,
I think it's kind of a mix. I agree with you that if it's a strategic objective, it's sometimes a bit difficult to formulate it in a quantifiable way. But especially in that case, it would be good to have some kind of an indicator which you can quantify, so, and actually measure, because it will give you a feeling if you are obtaining your strategic objective.
Mathieu? It's kind of a follow-up to this, but and from my former questions, but in the metrics, there are, I'm just giving two examples, but I think they're very obvious. There are two completeness things that I would expect and I can't find. And I'm just giving two examples. One is the number of GTLD applications processed in a year, or the number of GTLD applications processed in less than, whatever, 12 months, 8 months, whatever it is in the process. I mean, this is the main strategic thing for ICANN next year, and probably even later. And there's nothing. It's just weird when you look at the strategic plan that it's not quantified. And you have the figures because you can have it. So that's one example. The second one is, I mean, you produce policies. I mean, handfuls of policies all the time. Whether it's good or bad, it's not the question. There's no metric on the time it takes for producing those metrics or the quality of these metrics. That those are really the essential byproducts or deliverables from ICANN. And we don't see them very much in the metrics and in the strategic plan. That's really striking when you read it. There are a lot of small things. I can feel a lot of caution not to get into performance metrics, a lot of activity metrics, but difficult to get into performance metrics. I mean, I can understand why it's difficult in a multi-stakeholder environment, but I think it would be worth taking that stage. I mean, missing performance metrics is okay. It happens all the time.
Yes.
But not having performance metrics does not orient your organization into performance. So I think that's one of the comments I would probably put in writing. But when you just change them.
So
I take that on board. And I think there is a metric about new GPLDs, but it says timely processing, so it might not be as specific as you want. Timely processing means a lot to us. We're all like, oh my God, here it comes. But what might be really good, I'd like to get some input about the second one you bring up, and that is measuring effectiveness in policy development support. Because, you know, especially with you, what do you see as success? When is ICANN successful in supporting the CCNSO? How can that be measured?
Well, I think you have to be careful not to provide metrics for support, but it's metrics for the whole ICANN mission. So ICANN has to deliver quality policies, mm-hmm. not only to support the community, to deliver those policies and when needed, when in scope, so on and so forth. But there's a lot of aspects. There's time. I mean, I think it's fair to say that there have been some criticisms to ICANN about the slowness. Well, so delay is one aspect. As usual, I mean, there's always time, quality, cost. So pick the ones that you feel the environment is more asking for, and that's going to give you at least one direction at some point. It's not meant to be the final call about this is what is a good policy, but it's given our environment, we feel there is an expectation for us to go a little faster or to take comments more into account or whatever, or get more feedback, and then make this one real strategic goal that can actually be deployed across all constituencies afterwards. And that's going to be something that involves staff and SOs and ACs. So I think that's important not to focus on just the role, the important role of staff in this process.
Yeah, so that's an excellent comment. We're trying to set strategic goals for all of us. Does it?
I think it's a bit ironic because if I had this discussion in my board, I would be pushing back and say, what do you consider is good policy output? How can you? Some things that you can't measure absolutely everything. So what would good policy output look like? Is that policy that's been very inclusive and has had everyone involved, in which case it is a target that will take 6 years to develop something? Or is good policy output meaning that we've developed some policy that we think solves the problem we were trying to solve, but we haven't got everybody with us? So in a way, there would be a helpful discussion around what good policy output is, and I know if it were my constituency or whatever, I'd be saying, well, tell me what you want by good quality output. It's not as measurable as a speed of IANA processing. There are some intangibles, I think, here, that if we go too far down a measurement route, you actually spend all your time measuring as opposed to doing what it is you're trying to do, too.
I think on the other hand, it's a good example that asking yourself that question will help you in determining your activities and your actions. Because if I'm not trying to solve a problem as quickly as possible, mm-hmm. you have another route than if good policy is that you want to have everybody aboard before you do anything.
But if I'm not mistaken, you have standards for your own policy development process with a nominate of some sort. You have standards of your timelines for your PDPs within
a
minute.
We have a
so
process.
You have always basic standards that you can...
We have a process and a timeline and so on, but actually you could meet that timeline and it would not be a quality
sure.
process.
Sure. But it's only one aspect, which is you can't measure the... you could try to measure the impact on competition or... That's also another metric I haven't seen, but
I fully agree with you.
The next step would be to define objectives, peer metrics before you start the journey of a PDP. If you want a journey on increasing competition, define your metrics before, and then you say, have I reached my goal or not?
Yeah.
I have two different comments from current discussion. I don't know if I could be able to make it. Yeah, thank you. In two different strategic areas, one is the DNS and what's the name of this? Stability and security. You mentioned, Kurt, well, I can mention about the service level agreements on the PLDs, but there's no mentioning of service level agreement for root servers operators. You only mentioned the air root, which is under ICANN control. Is there, it was a voluntary omission of the root server's operation, or are you addressing that in some time?
I don't know. I'll tell you what I know, and that is that it's thought that a considerable work needs to be done in coordinating the activities of the root servers and whether those are agreements or not. I think we only have an agreement with one root server right now. And at one time, there was a very specific strategic goal of signing root servers to agreements. So that same goal is in mind. To better coordinate the activity of the root server operators to standards, so that that serves to improve stability and security. But I don't think there's an objective to sign them to an agreement, and I don't know why that is or why that's omitted. But it's certainly a even becoming a more important objective.
Well, my point of view is that if you are thinking on establishing agreements, service-level agreements with PLD operators, you may need to have the full chain of service first from the top. But maybe I'm wrong. I'm just a comment.
Yeah.
And the second one is about the health of the internet governance ecosystem. I think that one of the most important relevant areas is what you mentioned at the top of this area, which is, let me go back, to strive to be an exemplary international multi-stakeholder organization. But I didn't see the ATRT resolutions. I saw the timely competition of the affirmation reviews. I don't know if in these reviews are these ATRT recommendations included or not, but for me, the accountability and the transparency of ICANN is most relevant to maintain ICANN as an exemplary organization, regardless of something else.
I just need to explain it. If we were to go to the next slides for a minute, I just want to go one more after that, please. What I did is, as Kurt had said, there were approximately 9 per area. I only included 4 or 5 in this presentation. I did not include all of them. Not that I didn't want to. I just thought this was a sampling of the ones rather than a whole list. So to your point, the ATRT is one of those metrics that is being measured. It's just not highlighted up here on the PowerPoint presentation.
Well, is this included in the document, in the public document?
Yes, yeah. It is. If you were to go to the public comment forum, you would find that a clean line of the current draft strategic plan is there, and one of the metrics has to do with the ATRT.
I have it in my laptop, but I don't see it. Maybe I'm going to pass it. Okay.
I will also double check, but it is intended to give an update on that.
Thank you.
Just a matter of order, we have about 5 minutes before.
Just a question about two quite important events that I have only barely seen touched in the strategic plan. One is CEO succession. I mean, in all strategic plans, this is a big deal. I haven't seen a mention of it in the draft. And the second is the INR rebate. which the IANA contract rebid, which is mentioned, but probably we'll have to slightly change since the process is going to be slightly different from expected. Are you planning to integrate this in further stages?
So to take them in reverse order, the IANA rebid will be settled in, when is that, March? Yeah, so I don't know. I think whatever we put in will be overtaken by events.
You have to be careful about all the changes that may be impacted by this new contract. You will, I hope, take some new commitments in this process, and it takes some time. So it's not going to be over in March. It's going to be over.
I understand what you're saying.
At the end of the contract.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Okay. Yeah. So I take your comment on board. I'll take it back. So I want to do two things in the last 5 minutes. One is this deck of slides that you have, has a series of metrics in it that we're measuring. So I want you to be aware of those, but. I think that also, the conversation I always hope for, but I don't get to because I'm always constrained by my own slides, is that, to kind of sit down and have almost a blank sheet of paper discussion about where ICANN should be going, especially especially what we just talked about, how do we measure our effectiveness as a policymaking body, our responsiveness, our ability for speed, or how fast should we be? What is the right speed? And would rather talk about them. So I don't know if you think that would be valuable too. The sort of discussions I always picture us having have me listening more than talking, but it never works out that way for me. So I wonder if you have any thoughts about more. I don't know if it's a blank sheet of paper approach, but more of an approach where you can tell us where you think ICANN should be going that's different than it is, or how we can better write what our strategy is with respect to policymaking. We talk about metrics. I almost think our one page version of the plan I think is pretty good, but it's almost too long because the strategy is up here, and that's. When I view myself having strategic discussions, my feet are up on the table and we're thinking about lofty thoughts, and that would be kind of a fun discussion to have, but I think it would be most meaningful to us because we tend to dive right, as in all things ICANN, we tend to dive right in. So I don't know if you want to talk about that for a minute or talk about it with Bart later on, and maybe we can create a session like that where...
Sorry, I think that would be really welcomed, and I would reflect that that's kind of where we were a few years ago with Patrick Sherry, who very ably held some kind of open brainstorming meetings. It's incredibly difficult to do that in the multi-stakeholder process, but the blank sheet of paper can be immensely innovative, and I think particularly in this changing environment, might actually be very beneficial to ICANN. You won't take all of the ideas on board, but you will surface some things that maybe from the current process aren't really surfaced.
Can I make a follow-up comment on that? I think it would be a really helpful idea. I think one of the other issues is this particular setup isn't necessarily conducive to that. We tend to be more responding to what we see as opposed to talking about what could be. The other issue is, for no other reason than by the setup, it tends to be us and you. I think something that would be very helpful, pardon me, and Leslie was touching on it, was disintermediating the conversation, having a facilitator like Patrick or whoever it may be. A good facilitator makes all the difference. Where it's more a conversation that we both participate in as opposed to us saying, hey, where are the metrics, and you saying, this is what the plan is, and back and forth we go. So I would certainly encourage that type of a dialogue. if I could just add a couple quick comments where I go to you, so what about? Carol mentioned that you're working on metrics. I think Leslie raised a good question about, okay, it's a three-year plan. What happens year one, year two, year three? Please identify. Carol said, we're not there yet. We're going to work on it. So I have to ask the inevitable question. When will you be able to tell us about when you're going to be able to deliver those things? That's just sort of question one. And two, the other thing I don't see in this draft plan that maybe is there and you don't want to put it in print, perhaps, is what about the ongoing dialogue between the issues around the ITU, the issues around who's taking what piece of ownership around the governance of the Internet? What is the strategy there? How are you going to defend? What is your rightful role, ICANN's rightful role, or supposed rightful role? And what is the strategy behind that? I mean, it gets to be a bit more of an existential question, but I think it is one of those important forward-looking questions for ICANN. And I don't really see that articulated anywhere. And what's, you know, what is the plan there? Second to that, one of the challenges I find is trying to help developing nations get involved in the GTLD process. While somewhat outside the purview of this group, I mean, that is one of the key challenges. How are you going to do that? How do you really onboard them? And I know a fund got set up in Singapore, but what else is happening? What is the big picture strategy to onboard large swaths of the community into that process and then hopefully by extension into the ICANN process more than we're seeing them right now? So there are two big strategic issues that I don't see articulated that I think would be helpful for the long-term health of ICANN.
Just to come back on my own comment, Bart very kindly reminded me that we have an invitation to Patrick Sherry to help us facilitate a speaking associate session in Prague. So it may be that we could also get him involved in some of this blank sheet of paper discussions there.
So the answer to your easier question is, you know, we would intend to embed a good portion of that one-year, three-year type of discussion in this next version of the plan, wherever we can. So not for each one, but so I think that's doable. And you know, I appreciate the two large questions you asked, and they're certainly in the penumbras of the plan. And you prefaced it by saying maybe you don't want to talk about it. So finding the way to talk about it, because it is an important strategic objective at ICANN, is important to do. So it shouldn't be left to, you know, the shadows. Yeah, so it's well taken.
On the timetable, I'll have to get back with you. I can't tell you off the top of my head. But I will.
I'm going to follow up with you then.
Yeah, I will put it in our notes to give you an answer.
Okay, I just wanted to have 1 minute to, in your presence, to show the working group what our planning is, to come up with comments to you on the strategic plan, but then I'll need the thingy, the cable.
Okay.
Nobody does it anymore.
Okay. It should work.
Okay. Going from the bottom back up, if I'm not mistaken, the deadline for submitting comments on the strategic plan is the 17th of November, right? So working group members, what we'll do again is we will form teams. Bart and I will come up with a proposal for that in the coming days, but I think our proposal will be to do it along the four themes of the strategic plan. Each team will have to submit its comment on the 7th of November at the latest. It will give Bart and myself 2 days to do some editing. We will send out the compiled version to the working group members for your comment on the work that we did. We would need your comments then in 2 days to be able to send out the working group compiled comments to the CC community so that they can use our input or our comments as input for their possible comments on the strategic plan itself. So that's one of the two roles that we have in our charter. In the meantime, we can still do some final editing, and it would mean that we would submit the comments of the working group to ICANN on the 14th. That would be 3 days before deadline. So for the people of the working group, that is the timeline we will have to stick to. It means that you will have to, as teams, you will have to provide us your comments before the or at the latest 7th of November in order to give you our comments 3 days before the deadline.
That would be really terrific.
Yeah? Okay.
Look, this is more of, say, of a logistical nature, but the meeting on Wednesday. On Wednesday there is again a meeting with the full meeting of the CCNSO, or Tuesday, yeah. Maybe it's an idea that you and Kurt and Carol touch base on how you want to run that meeting, because that's 3/4 of an hour, and it will be very difficult to have the type of in-depth discussion that we have right now. But it's a very good point for providing the overview of the strategic plan.
Yeah, and I think we have to give Kurt a bit more room to change the way we approach this, I think, because I think your message was that you would prefer to have us talking to you and answer questions. So we'll catch up on that and just present the really high lines, and then you can make clear where you would like the CC community to help you out with some aspects of the strategic plan. Yeah?
Okay.
Well, thank you both for giving us your time.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we're getting a bit short on time, and it's just soon. And are you going to do the work, or do we have to wait for Xavier? Okay, everyone, let's continue. We had a 30-minute time slot to get a presentation of ICANN staff, well, Xavier mainly, I think, on the operational plans kickoff. We have about 15 minutes left, Byron. I don't know how full your agenda is. We really have to stick to how fast, right? You have to start your part at...
Okay.
So I'd like to hand over to you. Is it yourself, Xavier, that will give us the kickoff?
Yes, I mean, between Juan and I think we can address the whole thing. I think as a preliminary note, first of all, I wanted to introduce myself. I'm Xavier Calvez. I don't know everyone yet here. So, and the new CFO of ICANN arrived 6 weeks ago, I think. Very happy to be here, and thank you for the invitation. I appreciate very much the opportunity to meet with the GNSO and to work in the future with you guys. So as it relates to the operating plan, and more specifically the budget, I just wanted to make a note that we have an open session, as I suppose you guys are all aware of, tomorrow afternoon, I think at 5:30, to present the budget approach and timeline. And we expect, of course, anyone interested in the subject, because it's an open session, to participate to that that session as well. So I would suspect that what I wanted to do is do an overview of that presentation today with you guys, and maybe make it shorter so that we can also get a chance to have your questions that are maybe more specific. And tomorrow we'll have the more full, I would say.
For the details, but the way it was done last time was a lot of details in the budget, very little explanation of those details, and then of course you get a lot of questions from the community.
Let me make sure I understand correctly your question first. Are you comparing the level of detail between the framework and the budget, or the amount of analysis and comments on the detailed budget? Or
maybe it's easy. I'm talking about the framework.
Okay.
So the document that you will provide us with on the 17th of January 2012.
Right, right.
In last year's framework, so maybe it's easier to understand or easier to explain if I make a comparison between words and numbers. There was a lot of detail in the numbers. There was very little detail in the words. And then, of course, you get a lot of questions, because it was obvious that within ICANN there had been already a lot of reasoning about the whole operational plan, which led to the budget, which was included in the framework, which was quite explicit. But the reasoning wasn't mirrored in the text that was provided in the framework.
And when you say it wasn't mirroring the text, is it that there were inconsistencies, or that the level of details of the text was not sufficient to understand well the numbers?
The first, but mainly the second.
Okay.
So, for instance, there would be something like, there would be a short description on that there would be several projects, and then in the projects bit, where you have the actual dollars, there was an amount with an accuracy of $2 or something, so $752,625. And if we asked questions about it during the session, we found out that there was already a lot of knowledge within ICANN about how the figure was compiled,
mm-hmm.
but it was not in the written document. Okay, anyway, it's still not clear. We can take it offline. I can show you a few examples.
Okay. I'll need to make sure I spend a bit of time on that subject, because I think it's important that we all feel comfortable with what amount of details do we look at what step of the process. And I'm learning, so I'm listening to you, and I will try to make sure I understand well the, and I would love to have the example that you're suggesting, to make sure I understand the level of details that you have seen, and the level of comments that you have seen that you think is not consistent, because it obviously depends on how detailed we want to be early in the process. That may require that we have a format and a process to come up with that information that adapts to the timeline at which it appears in the process, and it may be requiring changes to our process. So that's why I think it's a fairly important subject. Okay, so understood. If we, maybe we can do that offline, but I would like that example. Okay. Sorry, let me take the time to make that note. Okay. So on the on the framework exercise, which is the next step that will really, or the next milestone in terms of publishing information, as we indicated, we would like to retain a process of communication of this framework that allows adequate opportunities of the community for input. Again, I indicated earlier that we feel that last year the community did not necessarily have the ability to provide adequate feedback on the framework, not necessarily in terms of timing, but in terms of having received the information that the community wanted to be able to provide that information. So it probably relates maybe partially at least to your point, but maybe also to other reasons that drove that behavior. So we want to make sure that we do the right amount of explanation as to what the framework contains in order to ensure that the community support the community comments are enabled, basically. Any questions at the stage on the timing and any feedback maybe from past years about the process as to what the timing challenges were, that it would be good for us to have a view of that now? From anyone?
Well, there was, I think, but that was also in our comments properly, that it's very important that you stick to the timeline. Because last year we had some delays and that only reduced the period in which we were able to supply comments, and especially with working group like ours, then that becomes difficult because we also submit our comments to the constituency, and we need some time for that. So, but I think the timeline is okay if you stick to it, it should work. Anybody else who wants to make a comment?
Okay. Sticking to the timing sounds like a reasonable expectation. And definitely that, just to emphasize that point, the timing is slightly different and a bit earlier, or sometimes significantly earlier than last year, notably as it relates to the budget framework. So it is clear that we're expecting to really take a quick start, basically, after the car, next week, to working on the framework and to make sure it's published on time.
All right.
Just one question for clarification. If you say you post the budget framework on the 17th of January, until what time is the public comment open? Because that's very relevant for this working group as well. Normally it's 30 days, and you really stress the community to provide meaningful input in 30 days.
So what's built in there is 45 days.
45, okay. So that, does that mean that it closes after the, just before the San Jose or just after?
End of February.
End of February, okay. And this,
I mean, I think it's obvious when we say that, even though it closes at the end of February, when we have the San Jose meeting 10 days after, I'm sure we'll be talking about it as well and taking advantage of being together to do that. That would be a waste to not take advantage of that.
Second round, it's about 45 days as well, I assume. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. And going from 30 to 45 days has been the driving factor to change the timing. Unless you have other questions, I think that maybe the only thing that we want to go over is the structure of the framework. So we have a slide on that. At least just that is letting us spark a little bit of conversation. We have what? We have another 5-10 minutes? Okay. So I'll leave it for you guys to look at, but of course we'd expect your feedback on at least at the very high level agenda of the framework, and which will be completing with the comment that you made earlier, Roloff, about level of detail and comments associated to the financial or the information, the figures information. So we'll make sure that we take that into account as much as we can. I don't know if there's any question on this overall format is probably the nothing. The accurate description is just the agenda of the framework or the list of components of the framework. We will make an attempt, which will be, I think, unless I'm mistaken, a little bit of a first time to have a 3-year outlook. So it will be a high-level exercise, but we think it's useful to try to formulate a 3-year outlook as a best practice. I expect that exercise to be then relatively high-level, and both in terms of level of details and in terms of the process that will lead to it, but we are definitely intending with not only in finance and again with the operations with ACRAM at ATALA as well to develop further the ability of the organizations to of the organization to forecast on a multi-year basis. And I think it's useful talking about 3-year plans, 5-year plans, strategic plans. I think it's a good practice, so we will go down that path.
That would give us a good impression of ICANN's ambitions with new GTLDs then for the coming years as well.
And that definitely will be the challenge and the opportunity for this exercise, right? It will be difficult, but it will be useful to do.
On the subject of new GTLDs, I think there will be a major change as compared to last year's, or the actual operational plan, because when we had the framework beginning of this year?
Yeah,
it was beginning of this year. There were in fact 2 budgeted, one with new GTLDs and one without new GTLDs. I assume that you will have one now.
Yep.
I take it that it will be very easy to see a new GTLD revenues and new GTLD and the costs as a separate part of the budget.
That's our intent, yes. And not only for the sake of clarity of the budget process, but because I think there is a clear expectation, and I need to verify whether how formulated that expectation is, but on a go-forward basis, I think it is expected that the financial implications of the new GTLD application process are being tracked separately from the rest of ICANN's operations. As a result of which, we expect to have that information as part of the framework. Yes.
Because the main reason for that separate administration is ICANN's position that the new GTLD process should be on a cost recovery basis.
Absolutely.
So there have been investments over the last few years. Those still have to be covered, and of course there are the running expenses of the launch.
Right.
So that's the main reason why it has to be administered separately.
Yeah.
And of course the community wants to have that insight, how the investments of the last few years will be recovered, and when that is done, what will happen to the fee that an applicant will have to pay.
Just as an insight, one element that I think may be a challenge for us to deal with, and when I say for us, I really mean us as a community to deal with, is that throughout that budget process next year, we're going to start the budget process at the point where we don't know how many applications we're going to have. We're going to finish the budget process at a point where we should have a pretty good view of how many applications we will have had. So we'll have to define our own rules as to how we develop estimates and how we determine to change them or to update them or not with the actual information that we will get. So I don't have yet an answer to that, but that's definitely a challenge in the budget process that we'll have to deal with. Is that making sense?
Mathieu, I am the CEO of the French CCT on the Tarifa. My question relates to one of the informations from the operational plan and budget that has taken us a lot of time in discussions here in this group, which is the it was called the expense area group, the way costs are allocated to different constituencies. What level of detail can we expect on this in the coming phase, given that there were strong expectations, there have been strong expectations for a number of years now for further information about how they were built and consolidated.
Just, Byron, do you want to take that now, or you want to reserve, because this is, we're coming on your ground now. It's up to you.
I agree with probably more accurately fits in the next session, which will start shortly. Can you hold that question, and we'll get to
yeah.
it shortly? We'll give them an opportunity to build into it before you hit them right away.
Just for logistical reasons, that's a combined session as well between the CCNZ Finance Working or SOP Working Group and the Finance Working Group. So if you're on the Finance Working Group, please sit on the table.
And deferring the question will let me take time to figure out what the AHG is as well. No, I'm joking.
Okay. Thank you for this. That was what you wanted to present, I think. Okay.
Let's leave it at that unless you guys have further questions.
Yeah, I don't know if you have any specific questions for us that you would like to.
Well, No, I don't have a specific question. I have a more general question about your feedback on the process, and you've shared already a number of elements. I have the impression that the timing is something that you guys look like you're comfortable with, but and I'm not necessarily asking for an answer now. If you guys need to think about it further, I'm fine, but I just wanted to make sure we obtain feedback from you on the that timing and how adequate or not you think it is. So at this stage, I'm taking that you feel it's okay, it's consistent with last year, with improvements on the amount of time dedicated to community consultation. In terms of content and level of detail, we'll speak more about it. And so I take the action to sit down with you and understand and formulate better the question relative to level of detail and not only level of detail but also amount of comments associated with the figures. And we'll take the EAG question a bit later. So now, unless you guys have feedback that you would like that we take into account, whether relative to the framework or to the timing, because I think the feedback on the next round of the budget, on the more detailed budget, will have other opportunities in the near future to get them at least on the framework. I would love to take it, but if you have done so already, I'm fine.
I think one will probably bring them under your attention anyway, but if not, it might be a good idea to look at this working group's submission on last year's
yes.
framework and operational plan, because there are some general remarks that you should probably take into account when you start working on it.
Absolutely. And that's true across more than
yeah.
your comments.
And it
will
save us from repeating ourselves.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for your time, Xavier. And I think I will now hand over to the chairman of the Finance Working Group. Do you want to come over here and swap places?
No, we all know each other. I'm okay here.